Well, this could be fun. Oh, hello. Okay. So, good evening.
Good evening.
You do know I've come a very long way.
Yes.
Want to try again?
Sure.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, that's a little bit better. I don't think they heard you on the top floor, though. What do we think? Do we think we can reach the top floor? Raise the roof?
Yes.
Go on, then. Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, that's better. Lots of lovely noise. Lots of sound. Lots of lovely vibration. Also, tells me you're very easily led. Compliant and do what you're told. That makes you a good audience. I like that. So, I've come to answer your questions. I'm sat comfortably. Who's got questions for me?
Yes, go ahead.
I am a real estate developer. And
okay.
I got stuck with one project, mm-hmm. which I've been trying to sell for some time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what if there is anything that I should do in order to sell it, or if there's a particular reason why I cannot sell it.
Are you going to cross my palm with silver?
I could do that, yes.
Okay, I tease. Well, it's an interesting way to start the evening, but I think basically you understand that you shouldn't have bought it.
Maybe, yes.
No, not maybe. Yes.
Well, I wish I didn't.
Well, yes, but you knew going in it was not a good idea. But you did it anyhow.
Yes.
You didn't trust your instincts. And your instinct told you it was not a good idea. But you got swayed by little flashy lights.
Correct.
And now you are reaping what you have sowed. So you need to change your whole mindset about it. You've bought a turkey. Okay?
Yes.
But Christmas is coming. So you need to stop trying to sell it the way you are selling it. Withdraw the energy, withdraw the intention. Take a deep breath and start again. Look at it. It is quite nice. It has some problems, you are aware.
Yes.
The location being one of them. Yes?
Correct.
So, you've got, you know, but there are still people out there who will want it. Okay? So, stop what you're doing. Leave it for a week and withdraw. No thinking about it. Just stop. Then go and stand in the turkey. Okay? And talk to it. And tell the property that actually you are no good for it. And it deserves good owners who will look after it and love it. Because it does. And that's not you. And that you will do everything you can to make that happen as quickly as possible. Okay?
Yes.
Then change the price. Yes?
Yes.
You're asking too much, you know that.
For what it is.
It's a turkey. You need to change the price. Not by a lot, but by a portion. Yes?
Yes.
A few £1,000 will make a difference to the vibration of it. I also want you, when you go to do this, and I'm very serious, go to do this. People forget everything has living energy within it. Buildings are the same. I want you to leave a bunch of roses in the property for the property because it's female.
Okay. What color?
She's not picky. But don't buy the cheapest. I'm being told that's your inclination. When it comes to flowers, never buy the cheapest. Okay?
Is there anything wrong with the aura of the place?
Yes, you. You and your intention. Because you know you want to get rid of it. That makes you slightly desperate and panicky about it. And that vibration does not create flow. This is why I want you to stop, why I want you to reset. So actually you create a vibration where it isn't about you, it's about the property attracting the owner it needs, not the money you need. Now that doesn't mean you're going to lose money, but it means it won't necessarily be on your terms. Okay? But a sale is better than sitting on it for another year.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, stop for a week, regroup, go and talk to the property, lovely bunch of roses, reset it, alter the price, and say to the property, now, together we will attract a good buyer for you. Okay?
Yes.
Also, it's telling me that the photographs aren't very flattering.
Of?
The property.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they are, actually.
They're not very flattering.
But they are not?
No.
But they were done by a professional.
I don't care. She doesn't like them. It's female. She's allowed to be picky. Okay?
Yes.
So relook at the photographs once you've stepped away for a while and then say they are good, yes or not. All right? But at the moment, what's holding it up is you.
Will the turkey be eaten before Christmas?
Before Christmas, I think, is a tad ambitious. But I don't see any reason why the spring couldn't be a good time for her to run free. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So now we've sorted out his property, where are we going?
I think Charlene had her hand up first.
Hello, Master Jack.
Oh, hello.
At what point was humanity at its best? Because I hear a lot of subjects from you, and we, you know, at the moment it sounds like we're all a bit lost and a bit, you know, Mother Earth's not happy, humanity's not happy, we're losing our way.
Mm-hmm.
At what point were we all balanced in time? At what point were we happy and balanced as humanity? Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. I think the idea of you all being happy, there's no point in time where that one's ever worked. But as a generalization of when humanity took a turn that you've never recovered from, that was the Industrial Revolution.
Oh.
The huge sudden swathe of mechanization, of commercialization, of things being about profit, you stepping away from tending the land and being in smaller communities and coming into bigger communities. This is where the speed of that has undermined the process.
Are we able to reverse that process? Are we able to get back to what we should be?
Of course. But it's whether or not you're willing to make the sacrifices. I mean, bear in mind, we're talking about a time when there wasn't gadgets or electronics, where there weren't so many of you. A time when you lived in communities and you knew all your neighbours. A time when you actually looked out for everybody.
I know you say you have to change us inside in order to change the mm-hmm. outside, and I thoroughly, completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, sometimes I think, how can that change things? How can that change things for better?
But the problem is you're trying to look at how will 7 billion people change. Don't, because there's just no maths in that. Just consider how you as one person will change. Because each one person who changes affects another 50, 100, 200, and so on. It's a ripple effect, yes?
Okay.
But the thing is, if you're all sitting there going, how will all 7 billion of us change, and none of you actually change, guess what?
Yeah.
Nothing changes.
Yeah.
So don't worry about how will the rest of humanity sort it out. Worry only about how will I sort myself out. And that then affects back the smaller communities and so on and so forth. You start bringing it back into people, not this.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. I think Mark was next.
You just said how you as one person changes. Going on the property topic and energy, 2.5 months ago, my property, in a sense, caught fire. I had to move out of it. Moved into a new...
I don't think in a sense it caught fire. It did catch fire.
It didn't catch fire. I thought it should be, that would be the shorthand. So, but more specifically, the flat...
I don't know how it caught fire, though.
That's true. So the flat below caught fire. Ours got smoke. We had to leave all of our things, pull everything out.
Mm-hmm.
We moved into a new property.
Mm-hmm.
The landlord has been very difficult. And quite a couple. Two landlords, husband and wife. And this past week, after pointing out the issues, in a sense, of their property for 2 months, the ceiling of the flat below us collapsed due to our shower. What am I trying to learn from these last 2.5 months as far as energy, change, property, flow?
Well, why do you think you're trying to learn anything?
Because it's so much change outside of me
mm-hmm.
that I think that I should be getting lessons from that much.
But isn't it also just about recognizing that some change is not about you? and that change happens regardless of what you are doing. Because change is inevitable, change is continual. All life is continual change. So these are changes that are catching up with you rather than perhaps happening because of you or for you to learn from. They are, to some degree, manifestations of other people. To some degree, you can then use them as lessons rather than they've arrived as a lesson.
What does catching up to me mean?
Well, there are things between you where things have been going with regards to the one that caught fire.
Right.
So there is a rolling energy from that.
Oh, you mean catching up to me again from someone else's cause?
No, from the two of you with regards to the one that caught fire.
Right.
But as for the ceiling falling in to the property below, that one's just funny.
It is funny. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's
funny.
It's just
the
like
way to look at it. The bottom
know,
literally fell out
of
the way.
When it rains,
it
pours, kind of
yes.
thing. I mean, it's
but
like
then there is also a
things.
Reality to that. That sometimes one thing attracts another thing, and it's not about you. It's the thing itself. So one property bursts into flames. The other one then gives you lots of water. There's an irony to it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's about you. It's more the property you chose to go and move into, there are some choices in there that you've made, yes. But the fact that the ceiling fell in, well, it would have fallen in anyhow, whether you were there or not. You haven't made it to do that. It wasn't your creation.
Okay.
It isn't. It's the landlord's creation.
Okay.
So stop worrying about it being you.
Thank you.
Hmm. Okay. Perhaps we move away from property.
Yes. Yes.
Can I ask a personal question, please?
Well, it depends what it is, so run it by me, we'll see.
A simple question.
They're never simple when they're personal.
Yes. Yes. I just want to know my life purpose.
Oh, no, go away. No. All this ridiculousness about life purpose, soul purpose. Why do you think you would come down here with just one thing to do? How boring would life be if you only had one thing to do? And also remember, once you know what that one thing is to do you actually think you would do it?
It depends.
Oh, trust me, no. Most humans would not do it if they knew what that one thing was. And the reality is, which part of you is asking me the question? Because I'll tell you now, it's your mind. And your mind does not need to know what your life purpose is. Because your soul already knows what your life purpose is and is very busy trying to do it.
Right. Okay.
So instead of trying to find out what it is, stop getting in its way.
Stop thinking about it,
stop worrying about it, and start focusing on where you are in the moment and listening to your instincts a bit more, to your intuition.
Okay.
Because your intuition is already trying to point you in a direction, and you're going,
right.
Over there looks very interesting.
Okay.
No, it's where your intuition is trying to point you. Yes?
Yes, okay, yes.
Makes sense, yes?
Yes, makes sense, yeah, but I feel a bit lost.
No, but you're not lost. Your soul is not lost.
Right.
Your soul cannot be lost.
Yes.
Only your mind and your ego can get lost. Your soul cannot get lost. So the idea that you are lost with no direction, you're not. That is a story your mind and your ego keeps telling you to stay in control.
Okay.
Tell it to shut up.
Okay.
And sit down and just relax and go with what is being created around you.
So should I meditate more to just...
Well, meditation would be useful, but proper meditation. None of this modern mumbo-jumbo stuff.
Right.
None of this visualizing gardens off in places. No. That's not meditation. Just sit and breathe.
Okay.
Properly breathe. None of this up here, upper chest breathing.
Okay.
So just sit and be quiet. The answers are all there for you. You don't need to know. It will only get in the way of you actually doing it.
Okay.
So all right?
Stop questioning, yeah?
Yes, stop questioning.
Okay.
That is your mind and your ego keeping you trapped.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Good, okay. Where are we going next?
I think John is next.
Good evening, Master Chan.
Oh, hello.
I've got a bit of a scientific question.
Oh, it's good. Something juicy.
It's to do with the DNA and the energy bodies. Now, you taught us well that we have, let's say, 7 energy bodies,
mm-hmm.
connecting chakras,
mm-hmm.
but the soul spends time mainly down in the lower ones, learning from emotions. So good. Got a good three-dimensional visual picture of that, and you
mm-hmm.
can get pictures of the auras, etc. Now, let's go to the DNA. Scientists have discovered that 3% of the DNA is all chemistry. Great! So that's three-dimensional, linear time-based stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought the other 90% was junk. But the physicists got in, who operate on a quantum level, a
mm-hmm.
subatomic level, and of
mm-hmm.
course, that's where all the action is. It's at a multi-dimensional level. Now, my question here is, because I'm trying to figure it out just through interest,
It's never just through interest.
So within our DNA, we have a, let's say, putting it in three-dimensional terms, something too easy to understand, an energy band where our higher self hangs out, okay?
No.
No? Well, we'll come back to that one then. What's the link between the DNA and our energy bodies? Are the energy bodies a reflection of what's going on in our DNA with 100 trillion cells of all having the same DNA, and it's a reflection of that?
But hold on a second. You have to remember the dualistic nature of existence here on the earth plane.
Yep.
So the reality is you are two beings having a simultaneous experience.
Yep.
Your DNA is reflective of that duality.
Right.
So 3% physical, which relates to the body itself, the earth plane itself, which would be there regardless of whether there was a soul having a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
So part of your DNA is strictly governed by the laws of nature that exist within your own physical realm. So as every animal, you have strands of DNA that denote that you're bipedal and so on and so forth. Yes? Mm-hmm. All right?
Yes.
Stop. I know what I'm doing. Okay? So the other part of it is more to do with the energetic reality of the dualistic relationship. Yes?
Yes.
Because your soul is pure energy. Not the higher self.
So, okay, but let's take the question again. So, is there a relationship between the DNA? Well, you've said that. There's a relationship between
that. Of
course
there is. Because the relationship is the relationship of the dualistic nature.
The dualistic nature.
Because bear in mind, it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, got it.
So the part of the DNA that the physicists are trying to tune into, if you like, would be more the strings of vibrational frequency coming from or within the soul's vibrational frequencies, yes?
Yes.
So we don't really have DNA. That doesn't quite work as an analogy. But because we are energy, we are particular in our structures, yes?
Yes.
Spirals, mostly. It's why the helix is so funny, yes? So there are spirals of continuity within the construct of our energy.
Got it. Okay, now, what about the higher self? Because
hold on a second. Have we lost everybody else with that, though?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if I can keep you all up with it. Where did I lose you? Okay, that might be a wee problem to recap all the way back to this. Okay, well, we'll just keep going.
So, from the research I did from Cryon, Cryon was saying, look, within the multidimensional side,
why are you going off into the multidimensional
because
side?
Because that's the subatomic side where all the action
the subatomic
is.
Side isn't the multidimensional side. It's the subatomic side. Stop trying to make it more fancy than it is.
Okay. Now, from that side, doesn't our higher self, our oversoul, hang out in there?
No, your oversoul, your higher self, the rest of you, is in the spirit realm.
So, but we're in the spirit world as well.
No, you are... No.
You are
in the physical realm,
born
out of the spirit realm. But you are a realm in your own right.
Got you.
It has its own boundaries and its own laws.
Okay, yep, got it.
Your higher self is still in the spirit realm.
Okay.
Linked to and connected to the lower self, the soul, but autonomous of it.
Okay.
So the fragments within the DNA are an echo to the origins of the soul, and indeed the essence of the soul, but not the higher self, any more than the soul is of the higher self.
So the soul is not a fragment of a higher self.
The soul is a fragment
of
the higher self.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, absolutely.
So in that sense, it is an essence of the higher self, but
only
the fragment.
Got it. Okay.
So within the DNA, there is no more of the higher self than there is in the soul.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense, yes?
Yes, it does. No, gotcha, thank you.
But also look at the percentages. 3% physical, 97% energetic, subatomic matter of nothing, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about the right math. Because even though the soul is regarded as such a small particle, it packs a very big punch.
Oh, yes.
Because it is pure energy and consciousness combined with a singular intent for this lifetime. And that intent is also part of what's encoded in those strands that the physicists are trying to read.
Yeah.
So they are more messages, if you like. Yes?
Yes.
So if you consider the DNA in that scenario, that the 97% that is purely energetic is like radio waves. Okay?
Gotcha.
The song that is being transmitted is the message that's within the soul.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Gotcha.
Yes? Any other question on that?
No, thank you.
Because the rest of the audience are struggling.
Absolutely.
Okay. Where are we going next?
I think the lady over here is next. Hello, Master Charles.
Hello.
Please don't be too hard on me.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll start crying.
Oh, that's all right. We have tissues.
What I'd like to ask is, I'm becoming super sensitive to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Technology, bright lights, noise, chemicals, everything. Like, mm-hmm. Today I was traveling on the bus. Everybody had their mobile phone,
mm-hmm.
and my brain cells were burning up. And I want to understand what is happening to me that I become super sensitive to the outside world.
Well, firstly, you have to be aware of what you've been doing to your energetic self. And that actually you need to be more grounded and more within your physical body in order to control your energetic self more. You would understand.
Yeah.
Because your aura is hypersensitive.
Yeah.
So therefore, if the aura is hypersensitive, all that information is being transferred through the aura and has to hit somewhere to be registered. And that's the body registering what the aura is experiencing, not the other way around. Did you follow that?
Yes, I followed that, yes.
Okay? Yes. So actually, stop worrying about what the body is doing and look at what your aura is doing. Because your aura is what is hypersensitive.
Yeah.
Calm that down, the body will slowly follow suit.
But what can I do? The world is all high-tech around me.
No. Your aura is your responsibility. Your aura has got out of balance. It's not behaving as it should be. It's too sensitive.
Like, the slightest noise,
yes,
bright light, everything hurts me.
Absolutely, but partly that is the aura being oversensitive. When you get your aura back under control and you calm that down, you'll be able to calm down what is going on at a cellular level.
So how did my aura get so oversensitive to life?
It's not life. It's some of the things you've been doing to be more spiritual. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of meditation, breathing, and things like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But your aura is reactive and responsive. And so all you've been doing is making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the bigger it becomes, the more sensitive it becomes.
So stop my practice?
Some of your practices are causing you to be extreme in your energetic self. And then it's knocking back through the system. Come here.
Yeah.
It's all out here.
But without the work I do on myself, my
but
life
self
is
here, not here.
So you're not being told to stop being spiritual.
Come in here. Turn the attention round to back in here. When you meditate, where do you direct yourself?
The heart.
Right? Why?
Because that's a place of love and compassion.
No, it's not. That's a modern day misunderstanding.
I know the energy level is the stomach to make you stronger, but I always go with the heart.
Yes.
That's where all the compassion, love, and
no, it isn't. Love comes from your sacral chakra. Love is an emotion. So what you're doing is you're putting all of that and destabilizing the heart chakra. It's not what it's designed for. That then spirals out, and the rest of your aura is spiraling out. Love is an emotion that belongs in your sacral chakra, not your heart chakra. Heart chakra is about balance, but because you are focusing on love and compassion, you've put it out of balance, not in balance. So the idea is right, but the method is wrong. Come down, drop it down. The soul and everything is lower down. That will ground you more in your body and make you less sensitive, give you more control of what you are experiencing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you. Great.
This way.
The lady will do it back.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Chu. I'm working with sound healing.
Oh, nice. Very nice. We like sound, yes.
And I would like to know if sound could help that lady that just asked the question about radiation and also detoxing, because that I have a big doubt about that, how much the sound can do.
Well, sound can actually do a lot, but interestingly enough, you've given two examples it can't do.
Yeah.
Firstly, the sound in this particular lady's incident would actually only feed the sensitivity. It's too strong for this particular case. Apologies, you're being brought into this question. But the sound is very good for other things. Detoxing, this whole idea of detoxing, what do you mean?
I mean, if people have a chronic poisoning, because of the milieu, it can be full of toxins. And for example, myself, I had a lead poisoning.
Right.
And a copper poisoning. And I thought maybe the sound could help.
Sound doesn't really work so well with some of those acute physical effects.
Yeah.
Sound works much better with, how best to describe it, disorganization.
Yes.
But that makes sense to you, yes?
Yes?
So making order out of chaos, that is more what sound is very good at.
Yes, I understand.
So sound is also very good for breaking up things or realigning things, not really purging things.
No.
Because it doesn't really have any flush in that sense.
Yes.
So not quite right for the things you were thinking, but sound healing has a lot yet that it can give humanity.
Yeah, but I thought also that it has to, that the sound could, had to be combined with some kind of medical help.
For the detoxing, for removing heavy metals, then yes, that
so
would be right.
Okay.
So as a complement to a medical treatment, to enable the body to accept the medical treatment, because it's then calming and soothing, but not to do the job itself.
Not so a combination.
Yes, but sound healing is very good on other things. So actually sound healing is quite good on certain forms of depression.
Yes, I so.
Not clinical, and definitely none of the psychosis, but the milder forms of depression, the day-to-day depression, anxieties.
Yes.
Sound healing can be very calming for the energy while the person can regroup to deal with what has caused the stress. Okay, so it has applications, but you need to think through what it is you're actually trying to create.
Yes.
Okay?
So it's the right thing that I do now, and very much for the tinnitus and the hearing. Is that okay that I go for that?
I lost that, but say that again.
Right now, it seems like Spirit wants me to concentrate on tinnitus and hearing. Is that
correct? Oh, okay. Yes, that's interesting.
That's okay.
Okay. I have to say with the tinnitus, though, you're not going to be 100% on that one. Because it does depend on why the person has the tinnitus.
Yes, I experienced it. Never say that it can help.
But no, it won't, because tinnitus is a very unusual condition.
Yes.
If the tinnitus is caused by damage within the ear, the sound healing will not help.
No.
If the tinnitus is actually emotional damage, they don't want to hear, then it could be effective.
Okay.
So you have to consider with physical ailments,
what
is the actual root cause?
Yes.
And whether or not they're meant to be learning from it. You can't cure someone of something they're meant to be learning from.
No.
But if there is an emotional destabilization or an energetic stabilization that leading to a physical condition, the sound healing can help bring that to the surface, if you like.
Yes.
But the person needs to be aware of that, because they then have to do the work on the emotional problem.
Yes, that's it.
Okay?
Yes.
But sound healing, lovely. There's a lot of work Spirit would like to do with that. Not necessarily the singing. I wouldn't say necessarily they were very good at that. But actually working with sound healers, there are a lot of spirits very keen to do more of that.
Yes. Thank you very much.
That's all right. And you don't need the gong, they're telling me.
No, I don't need it. I just do use the voice.
Yes, but there's a thought about the gong.
What?
The gong.
I never used it. You but think I should?
No, they're telling me absolutely don't.
No, but what about undertones? Undertones like subtones?
I have to say, all they said to that one was...
Yeah, okay.
So that one is they're a bit on the fence.
Yeah.
But definitely no gongs for you.
No, but I don't use instruments.
Yes, we don't need those.
No.
So the voice is sufficient.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you very much.
That's all right. Okay, we'll be going now.
Chat with the red T-shirt, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. I just wanted to ask you, you talk a lot about the concept of like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, how does that work in relationships? Because you, I personally have come across a lot of people who are very happy in very good states of being, obviously quite positive people, you might say, and they seem to have a lot of harmony there. And the people who don't have a lot of harmony seem to be bitter, resentful, have emotional problems. There does seem to be a pattern in that. I'm wondering, is that the same thing that you're talking about with like attracts like? It's not.
No.
Okay.
It would more be like attracts like in the terms of a relationship would be the person they're having the relationship with. So whether the like has done the attracting or whether the fear has done the attracting.
Right.
Because like attracts like and fear attracts fear.
Okay.
That's the two sides of the coin. So the who they are in a relationship would be more where like attract like might apply. So if you have problems with deep-seated insecurity about your worth, you're likely to attract someone who also has issues with worth, though you may both be handling it very differently. That's the like attracts like.
So it's similar emotional states to the connection, is that right?
Yes, or it could be fear attracts fear. So you attract what you are most afraid of.
So a vulnerable person would attract an exploiter?
Absolutely, yes.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay, where are we going now? He's cool.
The lady next to you had a question as well.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about whether fate, whether there's such a thing of fate and destiny and how that relates to free will.
Well, it doesn't really, does it? Because it wouldn't really make much sense. You can't on the one hand truly accept the fact that you have free will, and on the other hand, say that it's all destiny, which implies it's beyond your control.
Right.
So there is a bit of a problem with that, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that's the dilemma.
No, it's not a dilemma. It's just a dichotomy of human condition.
Right.
The reality is that what people are trying to connect with, we come back to the lady's question of purpose, the idea that there is a singular thing for you to do. This isn't right. The soul has come here to learn lessons, to have certain experiences. So those experiences are mapped out. Okay? So there is a design to your life. This is where the idea of destiny and fate comes from. But it isn't set in stone, which is what destiny and fate would suggest. It's far more fluid.
Okay.
It appeared to be more set in stone when there were less of you, because it was easier to organize. But with 7 billion of you trying to get all of the arrangements to line up, it's very hard. You know, look at how hard it is to organize a party and get everyone to turn up on time. The bigger the party, the harder it is to organize. It's exactly the same principle. So historically, it appeared to be more destined. Yes?
Yeah.
But now, the more of you that there are, the less that will become apparent. The more fluid it will appear. Because we're having to build in that fluidity. Yes? Because also, more and more of you are off path. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So destiny only really works if you're all doing what you're supposed to be doing. But you're not.
And can the destiny involve other parts of our soul? Like reconnecting?
What other parts of your soul? There is just a soul.
A soul. Okay. So we don't share a part, a fragment of a soul with others?
Other living people?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Don't be silly.
Okay.
One soul, one person, it's really enough, you know.
Okay, so we have our own soul.
Of course.
It's a one-to-one relationship.
Of course.
Oh.
Dualistic,
okay.
Symbiotic relationship. God, you're hard enough to control as it is, without the soul trying to control lots of people. No, no, no. One soul, one body, one lifetime at a time.
Okay.
Really? It's hard enough. No, 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 no. I don't know where you're getting this fragment in other people from.
You know, I've heard concepts such as like twin souls and group souls.
Oh dear, no, but that's not talking. But that, see, the problem when people start talking about what our spirit do and they don't actually bother to ask us.
Right.
Group souls is about the fact that what will happen is there are several spirit beings who will work together on lifetimes. So the souls may be bonded in a sense because the spirit beings are working together. That's what all that means.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't connected to each other. Mm-hmm. The spirit beings have just gone, oh, you're there on Tuesday? Oh, I'm there on Tuesday. What are you learning? Oh, you're learning about the value of life. Well, actually, I'd like to do that one. How about I kill you this time around? It's a correlation of the design. Yes? So the idea of group soul is only the fact that there has to be some sort of overlap in the design.
Okay, so that it's just you're working for a similar purpose.
Well, or helping each other out.
Right.
Yes?
Okay.
But that's where the link ends.
Right.
So once you've helped each other out, you go again.
Okay.
You don't stay permanently, continually. Not necessarily. You might do a couple of lifetimes together, or you might do one, or you might do 5 minutes in one lifetime, because that's where the overlap was. It's a very big design, you know. There are a lot of you. It takes a lot of organizing. And then you come down here with free will and go and muck it all up. So actually, the soul has to have in it counter clauses, if you like, to compensate for the fact that free will mucks it all up. Because you have the right to choose what you do, even if that isn't really what you should be doing. So the idea of the singularity, the contract, the fix, does not work. You cannot have a contract and free will running simultaneously. So it would be torture.
Plan A, plan B, plan C.
Well, I would say we go way beyond that part of the alphabet.
Okay.
There are very large sub-clauses that sit in a lot of souls where there is a fluidity of need. Because there's also the need of the individual and the need of humanity as a species that all has to be built into this. There are very, very clever people doing it, you know. And we've been doing it for a very long time. We haven't just suddenly come up with the design. If we did, I think we would have got it better by now. You know? No, it's very, very intricate. Humanity tries to simplify it in some areas, and you really can't, because you can't see the whole picture. And why should you? You're down here in the body. You're not supposed to be looking at it. You're only supposed to be looking forward to what you are doing. But you don't. You look everywhere else. And then guess what? Confusion.
Fate.
Okay. Or fate.
Thank you.
I always think it's quite funny that fate has double meanings too. Because you can also go to a fate and have a lot of fun. That always struck me as being rather an interesting choice of play of word. Yes? So, fate and destiny are far more fluid than humanity would like to believe. Mm. Because also a lot of the time you like to use fate and destiny as an excuse. Mm. It wasn't my fault, it was destiny. No, your fault. You had free will. Okay? Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Thank
okay,
you.
Where am I going now?
Great, I think Charmaine next.
Master Chan, I know we're looking inside of ourselves and things like that, but what I'm going to ask is, in this lifetime, how can we help Mother Earth?
Stop trying.
With all the plastic and the rubbish and things like that.
But we come back to the same idea. We come back to change yourself. Change your idea of how you live. Stop being dependent on the social construct and its idea of how humanity should live. And the fact that you've been sold the idea that your life would be terrible if you didn't have all of these things. So you have to deal with the story you have told yourself about your life. First, before you start tampering with her.
No, I mean the plastic that we use in our everyday life.
Yes, but that's about you. Make a choice. Don't use it. So if you don't like it, don't use it.
Thank you very much.
It's really quite simple. But don't do it because you think you're helping her.
Right.
Because you'll give up after 2 weeks, because that's not really a good enough reason. Don't use it because you fundamentally know you don't need it.
So, okay. I mean, like, the water from a tap is horrible, and the water from a bottle...
Don't blame the pole water from the tap. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, so you're going to rape and pillage Mother Earth's natural springs instead of the water you're recycling that you've already used. You're going to keep using the fresh water instead of the recycled water.
Well, it's because of all the fluoride and things that the chemicals that they put in it.
But you can't keep taking the fresh all of the time. There isn't enough of it.
No.
So there has to be some point at which you recognize that there is cause and effect here. There's 7 billion thirsty people out there. There isn't enough fresh water on the earth to give you all a clean glass.
No.
So complaining about what is in your water is no good if you're all thirsty. You're looking at the problem from the wrong way round. Yes?
Yeah. No, I don't understand. I'm sorry.
The resources of Mother Earth are running out. You understand that?
Yes.
So there has to be some compromise at which you accept that you've got to use the recycled. Why there are so many of you.
Right.
Because the problem is there are so many of you.
And not bottled water, for example.
But that's just a solution while there are so many of you, instead of using the fresh all the time, the spring water all the time. Consider what you're doing to groundwater. That's far more damaging than the fact that there might be a wee bit of fluoride in your tap water.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, so I got to a lecture, didn't I?
Could we go over here first? Because I think the lady had her hand up just before we went.
Oh, hello.
Thank you. Hello, Master Chow. Again, it's a personal question, or maybe it might be actually attracted to someone else as well. I would like to know how many past life I've lived.
No.
And if
I'm not playing ball.
Okay.
Because it won't do you any good.
Okay.
Because so, why do you need to know? What difference does it make?
Well, the outcome of that was that if I had, then what I am here to learn, or what is my soul here to hear?
Ask your soul. Don't ask silly dead gentlemen. Talk to your soul. You shouldn't need to talk to spirit about this. You should just commune with your soul. Your soul knows what you are here to do. Same thing with the other lady. Stop getting in its way. You don't need to know. You need to trust your soul. And what you did in the past life is irrelevant. It's this life that matters, because this is the one you're doing. Stop focusing on what you may or may not have been. The past lives always make me laugh. Everybody wants to be Cleopatra. No one wants to be the toilet sweeper. Okay? Past lives tend to be what they are. They're in the past, and they're not even your past.
Okay.
Focus on reconnecting to your soul and giving your soul back the power. It should be in control of your life, not your ego.
Okay.
Yes?
Right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Stop overthinking. Another one of you that's all up in your head.
Okay.
Yes? You know what I mean. You're all up here. Yes?
Yeah.
Nothing of you in your feet.
Okay.
If you're not in your feet, you cannot walk this life. You cannot walk this life. What is your soul going to do? Yes?
Okay. Yeah.
Come back down into your feet and out of your head. Head is not a good place to exist.
Okay.
Where are we going?
We're going to Anna and then Chris. Thanks.
I have in my mind two questions, but maybe it's one. One of them is about the inner child. Ways to take care of the inner child. And I guess that leads to parenting yourself.
Yes, taking care of nurturing yourself. Yes.
Yes, and I wonder whether there is some advice about how to do it better.
I don't know that it's necessarily about doing it better as much as being willing to do it in the first place. Of recognizing that a lot of the problems you experience as adults are actually patterns of behavior that have been laid down by the child. And it's the root causes that need to be dealt with, not the symptoms. Humanity is all too busy with the symptoms, never the root causes.
And so when I consider myself as an adult and I say I'm going to parent myself, I'm looking at the origin of the problem, and then how do I parent myself through the origin of the problem contemporaneously? Like,
but you might not be able to do it contemporaneously without a third party. This is where therapy, counselling and so on and so forth should be being used to support that relationship with the inner child, to resolve what the child is carrying around with it as the original trauma. You can't always do it all yourself. You sometimes need the third person to act as the reflection. And indeed, sometimes to act as the overparent, the grandparent, if you like, to the situation.
And
to give perspective.
It would be about identifying what the parenting...
No, it would be about identifying... No, it would be about identifying the root traumas that the child is holding on to, the patterns the child has created, that the adult is still exhibiting. Yes? No?
I am actually... This seems to be so essentially basic, and yet...
Because you're coming at it from the viewpoint of the adult.
Yes.
Looking down at the child, going, well, what's your problem?
That's right, I suppose so. So, how would I approach that?
But you have to approach the child as in the child is the center of everything.
And so I do the parent to the center to the child, or I do the child to the child. So if I want to change roles and parent myself.
So you can parent the child, but equally you should be supporting the child in its own process of shedding the trauma that it was never allowed to do.
Okay.
So you become a partner in its journey, as well as a parent.
And what would shedding the trauma look like?
That depends on the trauma, depends on the child, depends on the individual. There is no set rules to that. It really does depend on the unique experiences of that being. And not a generalization. This is another problem with humanity. You generalize far too much. You do not allow the individual uniqueness to sit at the core of what you are doing. And the reality is, you're all unique. How you have experienced and reacted to everything is totally unique and must be treated as such.
And so sometimes what you're saying is that the trauma response,
mm-hmm.
we know is not related to the event, but to the perception of the person. And how
to the perception of the child. So you made
yeah.
it a person all of a sudden. No. It's the reaction of the child. The child determines whether or not it was a trauma. Not the adult looking back on their life.
Right, so from the child's perspective at the time...
Yes, and it depends on what...
X or Y was traumatic.
Yes, but the age of the child, whether it is prior to the age of 7 when it's only emotional response, or whether it's after the age of 7 when logic is coming in, they behave in two completely different ways. This is why a timeline needs to be built to establish how old the child is. Because that will tell you a lot about how the child reacted to the circumstances surrounding it.
Yes, and so we're talking then how old the child is at the time when we are shedding that particular part of the trauma that
mm-hmm.
the child has perceived.
And you want to get back to the first one that has anchored all of the rest.
Right.
And this is why sometimes you can't always do the work yourself, which is why sometimes you need the third person to help steer it back to the beginning.
And are people who have this idea of meaninglessness, like nothing seems to be engage them in life, are those as well aspects of the inner child manifesting, or is this something else?
But meaninglessness is just going to be an aspect of no self-worth. It's just another variation of the issues with worth. And the vast majority of humanity has issues surrounding worth. Because you live in a world where worth is given such extraneous material values that of course you can't have any worth because you aren't gold. That's all that you carry is having any value. So you have completely ruined your language with yourself with regards to worth because you put it all into objects.
So these people who find life, engaging in life, so meaningless, are people who are feeling worthless.
There's going to be issues with worth and self-love and value underneath all of that, yes. They're going to be coming from a place of lack. And that will go right the way back to their childhood. That's what the original root causes of that will be. And then, of course, it just exponentially gets bigger and louder and worse as the problem continues and the pattern continues to echo through their life.
And is that what encourages avoidance? So people who are feeling worthless and meaningless, so they avoid more and more and more.
It can be, it's not always. I mean, avoidance can also be a symptom of actual mental disease. So avoidance, I don't want to generalize.
Okay.
But yes, it could be a symptom, but there are other things that could be causing avoidance.
Okay.
And also, avoidance could be a coping strategy that works very well for some people who struggle with social interactions and so
yes,
on and so forth.
Of course.
So avoidance, that would be too general to put it all onto the child issues.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Where are we going now?
We're going to Chris next, please.
Hello.
Hiya. I teach people with addictions and how to escape from addictions and that.
Mm-hmm.
What is your concept around beating addiction?
Well, you can't beat it. It's not a dog or a wall or a cushion. So the language has to change.
Okay.
So firstly, you have to consider, is the addiction part of what the soul is here to learn from? Because addiction is actually a very powerful learning tool because it's about self-management and self-control. Yes?
Yeah.
Or is the addiction a symptom of a deeper issue, the inner child issue, and it's a pattern of behavior?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't generalize with addiction. You have to look at the two different root causes and then treat them both differently.
Okay.
So a rather big question, I'm afraid.
Big question, yeah. And with that process, do you think...
Which process? The process of identifying the root cause.
The two root causes.
Yes.
Do you think through those processes it can be taught to humanity as a whole, or does it have to be done individually as the way I'm working at the moment? I want to be able to teach it on a big scale.
You can't size it up too big, no.
Yeah.
There comes a point at which all you're doing is passing on more information that isn't necessarily going to help the person with the issue. So there has to be a balance point at which you got too big if you're not careful. So the one-to-one has always got to be the core of the healing. So the large groups can be the vehicle for alerting them to their problems, if you like, but not necessarily the healing. Otherwise, you go too big, you'll lose them. And you run the risk of going into generalizations, which then will lose people to the wrong pathway, yes?
Okay.
It's a difficult one. Numbers is always a difficult one. Humanity is so obsessed with these big numbers that you forget the most important number is one.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great. We have a couple of questions on this one first. Yeah.
Yeah. Communication with angels.
Hello. Yes. Just turn around and go. Hello.
I am dying to talk to my guardian angel.
Well, just turn around and say hello. You don't have to die first. You can do it while you're alive.
But I don't get any replies.
Well, that's tough. Just turn around and say hello. Eventually, he'll reply when he wants to.
What about the four archangels?
But the same. They're very busy, but, you know, why do you want to talk to them? Because if it's just curiosity, quite frankly, they have other things to do.
No, it's guidance, it's...
Right, so guidance, talk to your soul, hello. Your soul knows more about you than your guides do. Your guides, by the way, do work for your soul and not for you. But if you want guidance from your guardian angel, then sit quietly and start talking to your guardian angel. Not asking for things, but just saying hello. I start to build up a relationship that isn't about wanting something, but about, let me know when you're around. I'd like to have a sense of your presence. I hope you're with me today. And then build up to guidance.
So it's something which you can build up?
Of course. You can build a relationship with your guides. Don't bother the archangels. You don't need them. You have a guardian angel. And that the guardian angel is only bothered about you. Isn't that better? Then an archangel, he's trying to talk to 7 million, billion, trillion people. No, guardian angel's only there for you. And quite frankly, they get rather sulky if you keep going to talk to all the other ones. Because when you talk to the other one, they're only going to put the message right back to your guardian angel and go, why aren't you doing it? Your guides are there for you. Only you. Make more use of that relationship first. Okay?
Thank you.
That's all right.
Thank you, ladies. Hello again, Master Chow.
Well, hello.
My question is, I've reached a point in my life where people around me are passing over to the other side through old age, you know, illnesses, everything.
Mm-hmm. They're coming home. Yes.
Yeah, it's natural. It's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my problem is I have a terrible fear of death. Now, the reason I have a fear of death is, like, if you're going to go to Spain, there's a guidebook, you know where you're going, everything, you know the process, you need to book.
But your soul does know the process of death.
Now, my problem is, I want to die being aware of the process.
Oh, no, you cannot have everything. No, you cannot have everything.
And also, I want to finish all my business
around me. But that's not your choice. That's up to the soul.
Like, you know, like I want to make up with everyone.
No. Stop beating yourself up. We're trying to do all these ridiculous things. No. Your soul knows how to die. Because your soul knows when it is time to go home. You do not need to know the process. You may or may not have experiences of it in the moment of it. Because bear in mind, the you that is asking that question is the bit that gets left behind.
You know, I'm worried, am I going to die in a car crash and look so ill suddenly?
But if you keep thinking like that, that's what you're going to manifest. Stop worrying about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Trust your soul.
But wouldn't it give me a bit of comfort to know what
I'm facing? Well, no, because all it's going to do is create more fixation. Because if you do know more, what is enough with that answer?
Because I know there are people who are like, who know they're dying,
who at the like last final stage, they don't want any drugs or anything because they want to be aware of the death process.
Well, that's their choice in that moment, but I would say that that is their mind making that choice. And it may or may not be useful to them. It won't make any difference to the death. Because death itself, that moment of death, is always peaceful.
You don't mind me asking, I hope you don't mind.
I've been dead a lot, huh?
No,
a lot of times.
So your last birth or before you went into the spirit world, do you remember the process, what happened?
I know exactly what happens to a soul when it dies. I've done it enough times. But also I've watched it from this side. The soul returns home perfectly peaceful and returns back into reflection where it is met and looked after. The soul does not travel alone unless it chooses to travel alone. And that very final moment, the actual moment, is peaceful.
I've read quite a bit about it. Some people say it leaves through the top of your head. Some people say it's all kinds of things. I'd just like to understand how it leaves the body.
Well, the top of the head is as good a direction as any. But that assumes you have a top of the head at the moment when it chooses to leave. It doesn't have to go out that way. It can go out through your belly button, it can go out through your big toe. But the top of the head is quite common. But it isn't a standard answer. Death isn't standard. Transformation is unique to the individual at the moment of their passing. And also, how many times have you done it?
But
if it's the first time, you're going to take the easy route.
But as human beings, it's a natural to feel this fear of death. Because it's all going to happen to us, and we don't have any guidebooks, really.
No. There are guidebooks. There always have. It's called your Bible. Only problem is, they're very scary. Because they make death a thing to be feared instead of a thing to be cherished and glorified almost, because you're going home. It is not the afterlife. You are after. Your soul knows exactly what it is doing. The problem is humanity has lost the understanding that there is more to you than just the flesh and bone. And you're worrying about death. You're not really worrying about dying. You're worrying about suffering. But that's your body you're thinking about. Your soul will not suffer.
But doesn't the body, don't you feel something when it comes out of your body?
No.
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 You know, the point of death,
you must
feel a jerking movement, something.
No. I've done it a lot of times, I've never jerked. No, you don't, because the body will have lost its consciousness prior to the soul departing. The body will not feel anything. The body will return to being simple clay. And all the experiences of that life, all the joy of what it has learned, goes back with the soul. The body returns to being merely carbon, matter, energy, water, mostly.
So when you read about near-death experiences, people experience bright light, tunnels, is that part of the process?
No.
No.
It's just part of the process when they're not supposed to be doing it. Because it's near death. It's not actual death. If they died and came back and told you about a tunnel, I'd be very suspicious. No tunnels.
Thank you.
Stop worrying about death. It's transformation. It's really a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Just bear in mind, you get to come home. You get to come back to spirit where it's all going on. Yes?
I think there's a lady at the back in black that hasn't had a chance to speak yet.
I just wanted to comment on this lady. I had a near-death experience.
Oh, hello. Was that a tunnel?
I felt.
But bear in mind, it was near death.
It was near death, yeah.
So you were kind of sort of playing at it.
Yes.
Because you weren't really dying. You were shifting momentarily for a reason.
Yeah.
So what was it like?
Felt like ice coming from my toes right through my body. But then suddenly I was looking down I was in a hospital. I was looking down on and I could hear what they were saying. There's no pulse. And then I realised it was myself. I was looking down. And the nurse who was looking after me was giving me CPR. And she was sitting on me. And I thought it was hilarious, actually. And But then I thought, hang on a minute, I haven't seen the faces of my grandchildren. And immediately it seemed I was back in my body.
Mm-hmm. Because ostensibly what you're describing is really a form of astral travel.
Mm. Okay.
So your soul was not what was looking at you. One of your subtle bodies is what was looking at you, your astral body.
Yeah.
Because the body was going to come back to life. The soul wasn't trying to live.
Okay.
So the whole near-death thing is, it's not really a good idea of what death is like because it's not actual death. So though the body had stopped breathing and the heart has stopped beating, it hadn't actually died. Because even clinical death and death are not necessarily the same thing. True death is only when the soul departs. Different stages. So you may have been in clinical death from a medical point of view, and bear in mind, even sometimes then, people have been known to come back because the doctors, there is a point at which the heart is beating and they can't register it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So death itself eludes humanity as an idea. You don't realize how many shades of grey there is to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, it's a form of astral travelling. It's one of your bodies looking at you going, we should not be up here, we should be back down there. And the conscious way of telling you that is, I can't see my children. Hold on a second, what is all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And you snap yourself back in.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Thank
you. Won't do it again, though, will you?
No, I don't.
But the real question is, are you making the most of the second chance?
Mm-hmm. Probably not. No.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
No, I was asking you. You know, you're talking to me. Exactly. If you are aware, you are not making the most of it.
I'm aware of it.
What's stopping you?
Fear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing about the fear?
Trying to overcome.
Okay.
Fear. Yeah.
So perhaps a little more work is needed then.
Yeah.
So don't lose sight of that.
No.
You know, you are here. You might as well enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And live with a lighter heart. Yes.
Yeah.
You're a bit heavy.
Yeah. Okay.
You worry too much.
I do.
You are an overthinker, but not to the extent as the ones over here. Because I'm aware your head is not doing this as we're talking. But I am aware that you do have a little friend of doubt that keeps walking around with you. Yes?
Yes.
But again, we come back to the inner child. There are some issues there that, you know, do need to be explored and resolved to give you the peace that you should have.
Yeah. I'm thinking of going to camps. Yeah.
Good. Good for you. But don't jump for the first one. Shop around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Try them on for size. Treat them like shoes. I did that from Vessel. I thought that was a very good one. I heard her say it to students and I was listening. I thought, oh, I want to pinch that one. You know, try it on. Try them on. See who is a good fit because you have to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Like attracts like, yes? Sometimes because you know you need a thing, you sometimes just go for the first one you find.
Yeah.
So shop around a bit. There's plenty of them. There's more every day. They're breathing like rabbits. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
But it's worthwhile doing, and you know you need to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Doing
it. Otherwise, the whole point is lost.
Mm.
Don't lose it.
Okay.
It was a gift.
Thank
a gift should be treasured.
Yes?
Yes?
That's true.
Good. Okay. I'll leave you alone now, because you didn't really ask for an existential conversation about death.
That was great.
Okay. Where are we going now?
Same row, lady in the blue, please.
Oh, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Dead.
I'm happy you're here with us. I'm about to embark on spiritual jewelry. I've been doing jewelry since...
Okay, stop.
Yeah.
What do you mean by spiritual?
I am combining stones with... My dad has been making sculptures that are based on triangles, and I'm... kind of cross-pollinating my jewelry design with these. They're sculptures that are like crystals in a way that have been built in three dimensions. And I'm taking that concept and making them into jewelry.
But what makes that spiritual?
Because I'm looking at it, it's a combination of looking at it on a mathematical.
But then that's sacred geometry.
Yeah. So
but that's not spiritual.
No, but through the stones, I was looking at it as a spiritual side.
But be careful with the use of the word spiritual.
Okay.
Because people use it all the time and they have absolutely no idea what it is.
Yes.
It's just a word, and if you keep overusing it, what you're running the risk of doing is devaluing it completely.
Of course.
There is nothing wrong with honoring the fact that this is energetic jewelry.
Okay.
Because you're harnessing the lines of energy based on sacred geometry.
Yes.
With or without the assistance of spirit. And that's a discussion you haven't had yet.
No.
But it's a discussion you can have.
And I'd like to.
Well, you need to sit down and talk to them then.
Yes.
Because, you know, we kind of like geometry. That's why we called it sacred.
Right.
And you just copied us. Okay?
Yeah.
But I think the idea of spiritual is not the right resonance.
Okay.
So you need to think about who you are using the word spiritual for and why you are using the word spiritual. Because actually I would have said what you have in mind is far more transformative.
Yes.
Not spiritual.
Okay.
So you need to own what you are going to create more instead of just using common words.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So what was the question? Because I interrupted you.
Now I'm lost.
Not my fault.
No, but you've taken me on a... You're correct. And I'm appreciative for that guidance. I am on the brink of doing this, but then there's a financial side where I keep investing and the flow of the finances to continue. I'm blocking the flow, possibly?
Well, if you're walking in flow, you wouldn't be asking the question because there wouldn't be a problem.
Right. Then why is the financing not flowing in the same...
The financing is not flowing because you aren't owning what you're creating, because you're using catchwords that aren't the truth. So step back, review what it is you're trying to create, what the actual vibration behind it is, then step forward again. I think it's not flowing because it doesn't like the word.
Okay.
And the crystals most definitely do not like the word. Because remember, crystals are of the earth, not of the spirit.
Yes.
This is humanity's problem with language. You really do muck it about.
Can I ask one part of that, the environment and your impact on it, and being that it's jewelry and the mining of gold and the mining of silver?
Yes, it's hardly kind.
It's very unkind.
Mm-hmm.
I always struggle with this.
But there's also a lot of gold and a lot of silver that has already been mined.
Yeah.
And if you've already raped the land to get it, you might as well make very good use of it.
And I do use recycled.
Well, that's the best. And actually, in many ways, you're honoring then the energy of it and the story of it. Because of the many lifetimes it's had, the many different shapes it has held, let it go back to a truer form. Because you're also being very inspired by the matrix within crystals.
Yes.
And that's the same within gold and silver and metals and so on and so forth. Yes?
Yes.
So actually the recycled will give the pieces a whole different edge. Also, do not rule out copper. I know it is more expensive, but it's a wonderful conductor of energy.
Okay.
But proper copper, not the modern day cheap stuff.
Yes.
Because that can only, even in small pieces, it can hold a lot of vibration to enhance what you're trying to create.
Okay.
Gold may be more shiny, copper has more integrity.
Okay.
Gold won't appreciate me saying that, but copper knows I'm telling the truth. Okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
Where am I going now?
Well, we've got about 15, 20 minutes left. There's
okay.
Some second hands going up as well. I think just the lady at the back there hasn't had a chance to speak yet either in red. Yes?
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, no, sorry. This lady that just put her hand up. Yes?
Oh, okay. Hi, Mr. Chow.
Hello.
I sometimes feel like I get a lot of communication through plants and animals. And I'm wondering if this is actually from the plant or the animal, or if this is just something I'm communicating through myself.
Hmm. It's a bit of a tough one because I don't think the answer is black and white. I think it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Okay.
So I think don't always assume it is the plant or the animal. Look at whether or not it is a way your guides are trying to communicate with you. Because you are an earth person rather than an air person, you would understand.
Okay.
So anything around nature is going to have a deeper resonance for you and therefore be a more obvious way for them to communicate. So you really would do quite well from going to hug a tree. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
You'd find that very calming and very soothing.
Yes.
So I think sometimes it's your guides. Plants aren't really very talkative.
That's what I thought was true. I guess I was just curious.
If they aren't really. Plants really don't like talking to humans. Animals are slightly different. Animals, because they are slightly of a different conscious level, will engage. So the animals, I'd lean that, yep, that could be 50-50. Plants, not so much.
Okay.
Would depend a lot on the plant. Trees, bear in mind, they don't really talk to humans as much as hug you. Yes? Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
So plants not very chatty.
Thank you.
Especially the ones you are growing now, because you're artificially growing them instead of allowing them to be wild. Wild plants are more chatty. But there aren't many of those left on the planet. Most of your plants are cultivated and therefore have become too cultured to talk to anybody. Okay? Yes?
Yeah, okay. The lady with the striped jumper hasn't spoken yet either.
Hi, thank you. Good evening.
Hello.
Mr. Chow. I run a charity in the Himalayas in India.
Yes, I knew where they were.
And I've done it for 23 years.
Okay.
And through this time we've built buildings like a hospital and a school and that kind of thing.
Oh, useful things. That makes a nice change.
Yeah, I was on the point of handing my charity over to someone else because
mm-hmm.
I've done it for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it all went wrong. So I've taken the charity back myself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my trustees are left, so I'm pretty well carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
We built a community centre, which is what the people wanted, 10,000 Tibetan people.
Mm-hmm.
We've just won an award by the UN for low-carbon building. Which I'm going to collect next week. And I'm just at the crossroads and I'm not quite sure what to do now, where to go. Do I try and engage more people and keep the charity going?
No.
Or do I
think it's time for the charity to call a day, yes. I think it's run its course.
Good, yes, that's what I wanted to hear.
And that's why you couldn't sell it and pass it on to anyone or hand it over.
It
is because it has run its course. It's done everything it set out to do and more.
Now completed.
Hmm. Because bear in mind, the charity was really for you rather than the people.
Yeah.
So you've got everything.
It's had positive results.
Oh yes, for the people, they've got something out of it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for them in the first place. It was always for you.
Okay.
And the learning you would get out of it.
Yeah.
And it's achieved that.
Yeah, okay.
So yes, you can let it go.
Thank you.
There's a weight off now, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And see the reward, you know, the award as the reward to say, bravo, well done, feet up, nice cup of tea.
Thank you.
Yes?
Yes.
But, word of warning, when the man comes trying to sell another charity to you, to rope you in, thank you, no thank you.
No, yeah, I've done enough.
You've done enough, yes.
Yeah.
Time for you to have a rest.
Thank you.
But bravo for building practical, useful things. That makes a nice change. Charities often do not.
Mm.
Charities often just perpetuate the problem.
Mm.
So it's nice to see a charity that has actually given people what they wanted and needed.
Right. Yes.
And left them empowered to do more. And that's another reason why the charity has to finish.
They have to take responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want them to.
Absolutely. And they won't. And why should they if a charity keeps doing it for them?
Yeah, exactly. Thank
you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good question. I like that one. Okay, where are we going?
Thank you. Master Chow, you mentioned earlier individual uniqueness and the importance, it seems, of third parties and the journey back to reconnect, to find really, in a sense, soul purpose, and so we can have their lessons and experience. And then John, at the beginning, mentioned, it seems like you said that some soul is embedded in the DNA of what we were. So can we rely on the soul and our DNA to...
No, you rely on your soul. DNA is irrelevant.
But the soul's in the DNA. But
no. The soul is within you and is therefore part of the everything you use to measure yourself of which DNA is one measurement.
Mm-hmm. And then our soul will lead us to the third parties that we need to make the journey back. Okay.
Your soul will lead you to everything you need if you stop getting in the way.
Backwards to go forwards. Backwards in time.
No.
To heal.
Well, that if you're doing work with the inner child, in a sense you are going backwards in time. But even then you are doing it from the present moment. The point is you have to come into the present moment to engage with your soul.
Right.
So be present and then trust that the soul will point you in the direction of the things that you need to deal with.
And we'll reconnect with the individual uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, where are we going now?
With the red t-shirt.
Hello.
Hello.
You've mentioned a few times this evening, and I've heard you talk about it a lot before, the soul and how it creates in partnership with part of the consciousness that's in your head or your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right model. Now, you've also talked about how the soul is effectively trying to get you to do things, to learn and all of that. That's basically, it sounds like to me, it's one consciousness just manipulating another, and that's not creating in partnership at all. So that whole model, the way you talk about it, doesn't really make sense to me.
But that's because the part of the consciousness that is in the way shouldn't be there in the first place. It's not
right.
Part of the original design. It's part of the chaotic design that most of you are living in, that your soul is trying to get you back to the rhythmic design where it isn't manipulative. It's all working cohesively for the same reason.
So really, the true design should be that you experience and know the soul in your kind of through your whole being all the time.
Yes, the I is the soul, not a separate entity.
Okay, but you keep talking about the soul's trying to get you to do this and do that, so...
Well, it's because you are separated within yourself.
Okay. So how is... What are practical things we can do to redress that? You talk a lot about going into balance
mm-hmm.
and talking to the soul, but what
mm-hmm.
practically, what does that translate into?
Practically, being aware that the soul actually knows what you should be doing and seeking its guidance instead of the guidance of everybody and anything else.
Okay.
Because fundamentally, you're all asking the wrong people.
Right.
So actually, the soul knows what you need, when you need it, and how to get it.
Okay?
Because the soul is designed to drive your life, to do all the manifesting, to create everything. The personality is an aspect of what the soul is here to do. It's a reflection, if you like. The characteristics line up with the learning. The consciousness is partly what an animal would have anyhow, as well as what the soul brings into the picture. Your ego and free will, well, the ego you need, otherwise you'd never get out of bed in the morning. You need to kick up the butt occasionally, and that's what the ego should be doing, acting as drive. And free will, unfortunately, that's the law of nature required that. That wasn't part of spirit's design, and we had to work with it. But your soul should actually be the core driving everything, and the others working on its template, not the other way around. What happens is you all step away from soul into the conscious mind or the ego. These things then take control of the whole thing, yes?
Yeah.
And create more and more separation and more chaos. So in effect, we're dealing with two separate entities until we can bring you back to oneness with the soul when you become one again.
So is there many people on earth that you would say are really holistically with their soul?
No, not a lot.
Consciously?
Not a lot, no.
No?
Mm. Not as many as there could be.
Okay, but it is doable.
Of course, otherwise I'd be wasting my breath, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And no offense, if it wasn't doable, we'd stop trying.
Yeah.
We'd give up this model. We deem the model as not working.
Well, I think you can already see it's not working in a lot of cases.
But not working in a lot of cases, as opposed to not working full stop, fundamentally are very different.
Okay.
You haven't reached the point where fundamentally the design here does not work.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep trying.
Okay.
But free will does get in the way.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Where am I going now?
Great. Lady at the back. Great.
Master Chow, good evening.
Hello.
Hello. I wonder if I could just ask a question about my health this year. I've had a lot of problems with my lungs and other aspects of my health. And I wonder, do I need to move out of my flat in order to fix this? Is it partly the environment that I'm living in?
I need to have a better look at your energy. There's too many people in the way. Would you mind coming up here? So talk to me a bit more about what is going on with your lungs.
So I had pneumonia at the beginning of the year.
Oh, no, where's she going? Is that me?
I need
to have a proper look at you. Oh, my God. Hands.
Oh.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Okay, so you had pneumonia, yes?
Yes, and then it turned into all sorts of other immune system problems.
Mm-hmm. And what are the doctors telling you?
That mold spores have got into my lungs.
Mm. Problem is, it's chicken and egg, isn't it? When the reality is that the mold spores have done the damage which you are currently looking at. So yes, you can go step back.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So yes, being in the environment where you are is not good. But fundamentally, the problem is you should have moved a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And you know that.
I think I do now.
And you've been stagnating.
Yes.
You've gone mouldy.
Mm-hmm.
So it, if you like, is a physical representation of what you were feeling, the decay, if you like, because mold is just a form of decay, of stagnation. So geographically, moving away from the mold, fresher, cleaner air, and I use clean slightly loosely with regards to earth at the moment, but fresher air would be better for your body's recovery. But if you take the stagnation with you, you're only going to repeat the problem. Okay?
Yes.
So you actually need to give your whole life a cleanse. And look at why you are stagnating, why you're no longer growing and moving and evolving, why you are treading water for so long. Okay?
Okay.
And that's fear. Yes?
Yes.
So what are you afraid of?
I don't know, change.
Tough, because that's going to happen regardless. And it's either the change you want or the change you get. And the change you get, that may not be the nice option. You've already experienced some of that.
Yeah.
Because the pneumonia pulled you up short. It made you look at what you were doing. That's what it was there for. And the change is nothing to be afraid of. Can be quite fun and exciting if you engage with it instead of shying away from it. And what's the worst that can happen?
Oh, I don't know. Is there anything specific I should do then?
I think for you, a lot of it is about feeling useful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And you don't.
That's true.
But you won't, if you don't, love yourself first. Because the only person you need to be useful to is you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're distracting yourself by trying to be useful to everybody else. And that has run as far as it can go and is now backfiring. So actually, now is the time to love yourself. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself all those treats and all those nurturings. And go, everybody else, go away. Be selfish.
Thank you.
Doesn't do a person any harm to be selfish, you know. In a world that's driven by this must help mumbo jumbo, selfish sometimes is exactly what you need. Okay?
Thank you very much.
But getting away from the mold obviously is crucial. The body has been weakened by it. Actually, interestingly enough, the lady was talking about the sound healing and what the sound healing is quite good for. Boosting the immune system is one of the things sound healing is quite effective for. So perhaps consider having some healing as a treat, whether it's sound healing or spiritual healing or something. Even good body massage would boost your entire system and your circuitry system, which will help it fight what has been going on. So all these things are gifts you give yourself. Okay?
Thank you very much.
That's all right. Okay. Right, where am I going now?
We've only got a few minutes left. I'm aware there's a couple of people in the room that haven't spoken yet. You don't have to. Is it? Has anybody not spoken that wants to?
I haven't.
Yes, would you like to speak?
Can I have a quick question? That part of the soul, that, no,
question.
It doesn't matter. I'm just doing my search. Is there a Tricia in my house?
Sorry, is there a
Tricia, a material Tricia, hidden somewhere in my house?
Do you mean like gold?
Not exactly, but something like that.
What a strange question to ask me. I have to come back to what I said to the man over here. Are you going to cross my palm with silver? I'm not quite sure where you are coming from with the question.
I'm just asking you a question. You can say...
No, I know, but it's a rather unusual question, but okay.
I have grounds for asking
the question. Oh, no, I know you have grounds for asking the question. I'm quite aware that you have a reasoning behind it. It's just kind of an unusual question. And I get asked all sorts of things. I'm just considering if there is any information for you. And I have to say your guides are somewhat flabbergasted. They've sort of been trying to help you with the whole thing and are slightly lost for what to do. There is a sense that the pursuit of what you are doing is futile. Because you're not going to get what you want out of it. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So whether there is something there or isn't something there, it's not what you think and you won't get out of it what you are hoping for. It's becoming a distraction instead of actually something to move your life forward. And your guide really would like to see you living your life more. Yes? Yes? No? Hello? Okay. Your guides are not telling me whether there is what you consider the treasure specifically in your house. And your house isn't talking to me either. So I cannot give you a specific, and I most definitely could not tell you where it was. Your guides merely wish you to know that there is more to life than the pursuit of this. And as long as you are living your life and enjoying your life, the treasure will come to you in lots of different ways. Okay?
Well, that's not that important to me at all. Not. I'm just curious. I know there is a lot more to life, obviously. Obviously I do.
Okay.
And this is what is most important to me. The other kind of treasures. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I think we are out of time. I know there's a couple of quick questions.
Is there a quickie?
Yes, please.
Let's have a fun quickie to finish.
It's a quick, very quick question. While you were talking about crystals and everything, this other lady, a thought came into my mind. At home, I sleep with a quartz crystal and an amethyst under my bed.
Why?
Just to calm me down.
But they won't calm you down. And most definitely not under your bed.
And my meditation area, I have a crystal and under my...
But do you clean them?
Sorry, yeah, I wash them, yes.
Regularly. How often?
Every 2 weeks.
And do you recharge them?
I meditate, I suppose, the energy goes.
No, meditation does not affect the crystals. Do you charge the crystals and do you set an intention for them?
No,
have you asked them?
I'm under the bed.
Well, then, no, stop doing that. Take them all out of your bedroom. Okay. Take them all out, put them all in a nice box, all of them, all the crystals you have in your home, go and put them in a nice box.
Yes.
Okay? And put the box somewhere out of the way for 2 weeks and leave them alone.
All right.
Then go to the box and use your intuition as to which one crystal would like to work with you. Pick out the one crystal, clean it, charge it, set an intention with it as to what it will do for you and you want it to do for you, and ask it where it would like to go. But it should definitely not be under your bed.
Okay?
Right.
Thank you.
And you consider what the crystal is for and what it should be doing. They're all overcharged. They're all adding into this overstimulation. Okay?
Thank you.
So take them all out, put them away for a little while, and then take out one. Yes?
Thank you.
There's probably a couple there that need to be given to somebody else.
Thank you.
All right? But find out how to charge crystals properly. Yes? Lots of books on it. People here who teach it, find out how to treat them properly. They're all jangly.
Okay.
Okay? And they shouldn't be. I know. But there's one more quickie.
There is the one with the lady.
Yes, there's one last quickie.
Sorry, Master Child, have you finished? Sorry.
Yes, I finished. Hang what on. Was the other quickie?
Oh, hello, lady. I'm a Reiki healer.
Oh, dear.
And when I was attuned
mm-hmm.
to Reiki,
mm-hmm.
I was told by a lady, I think she was a psychic at the time, that she saw a master teacher or a teacher?
No, complete
as
rubbish, all coming out of her ego.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was actually here in
mm-hmm.
this college,
mm-hmm.
I was told the same thing.
Of course, because it's sitting in your aura as a piece of information, so they are merely giving it back to you.
Okay. So, does it mean that I don't have a guide? Or
you have guides, but don't call them master teachers. Your guides are your guides. You have a guide who helps you with healing. They don't want to be called a master teacher. That's ego.
No. That was what I was told.
That's what I'm saying. That
so,
is wrong. You will have an energy that helps you with healing. That is your healing guide.
Okay. And my question actually, leading to it, when I actually started, it was 2 years after I was attuned into Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, obviously, I wanted to share it with people because
why?
I had a very good experience from it. And also the healing that I received, I wanted to make sure that everyone can receive. And plus
why do you want to make sure everyone can receive?
Well, anyone who needs it or who would like to experience it,
mm-hmm.
and
poor Dr.
Asui. Needs energy, chakra healing, or
the chakra healing and Reiki are two different things.
Okay. How is it different?
Oh, completely different. The fundamental principles behind the teaching. Poor Dr. Asui has never been the same. He looks back down from spirit at what has gone on with Reiki, and he scratches his head in dismay. Because it has moved so far away from what he originally set up as the principles of it.
Because Reiki moves where it needs, or the energy kind of moves where it needs within the body of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
No.
Okay, so what is the correct
way? That's what it should do. That is not what it always does.
So what does it do always then?
Depends very much on the healer and a lot to do with where you are drawing the energy from.
So if I am drawing from a universe...
See, and then we run into the problem.
Okay.
What is the universe?
Well, I mean, imagining a white beam light.
From where?
From source.
But what is source? What do you actually believe these words to mean? Because that is where you are calling the energy from.
I suppose that's the way that actually is being taught.
I know, this is
yeah.
the problem. These words don't have one fixed meaning.
Okay.
They have individual meanings from the person who attuned you, and Dr. Asui is very upset with that idea. But also, what does it mean to you? Where do you think you are drawing this energy from?
That's a good question.
I know it is. And it's a weird problem that you can't answer it.
So
consider, where are you drawing this energy from? Because the where will dictate what it will do.
Is it going so... Sorry, I was going to set a dinner for you.
Oh, hello. Let them finish.
Yeah, no,
okay, no. Let them finish.
Hi, my name is Sandra.
No, they've gone. Now, the lady can finish.
Silence.
Yes?
Silence.
Oh, sorry.
So,
sorry.
Where are you calling the
okay,
energy from?
Yeah. I want to understand if you're saying that you're asking me where I'm calling it from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know the answer.
Well, then you need to consider that.
So
you need to decide what do these words mean to you.
So, because I feel the energy. So, I feel the energy running through me.
From where? What does the word mean to you? What does source mean? What does universe mean? That is where you will be drawing it from. So consider your belief systems, consider your understanding of the world, own where you are calling it from. Because what a lot of Reiki healers do is they give up their own energy. That is not what it is about and not where it should be coming from, and that's why they will get so sick.
Okay.
So think about the words, think about what you see that word meaning, and is that where you want to be calling the energy from, and is it the right word? So think about it.
So if
guys, I'm going to have to let you know that we are really
we're
out
of
time.
I know.
Yes.
Okay.
But if Master Usui is very upset with the idea of what I've just said, I mean,
he's upset with the teaching of Reiki.
Of teaching Reiki. I mean, what is
what is the right way?
It should be taught over a number of years. The number of masters that are wandering now is never what he originally set up. Reiki was a lifetime of learning and understanding, not a few weekends. It was a much deeper practice which started with self-healing and self-realization before you started fiddling with other people.
Mm-hmm. So it's more coming back to self again before.
Of course, it very much was a form of self-healing.
So is it more like deep meditation, I would say, or?
No, that doesn't really quite answer it, but there was a lot more to it in its original form.
Oh, okay.
I know, I met the man. He was very nice.
Oh, okay.
So I know I have to go. She's telling me off. I know.
Yes.
I know. I'm being told I have to go.
Okay. Thank you.
So I shall take my leave before she gets more upset with me. So on that note, then I say goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And
goodbye.
God bless.
Goodbye. God bless.
Congratulations.